Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, Kyle is back in the hot seat, and he has picked Hellraiser. I don't even remember which number. Hellworld.
I believe it's eight.
I was leaning towards eight, but I didn't want to be wrong. So, Kyle, I told you this before we hit record, but I've watched all of the Hellraiser films, and I think by the time I got to Hellworld, The DVD that I had purchased that was every Hellraiser sequel.
I know exactly the one.
Just became background noise because I thought that this was a very different movie until I was watching it. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen this movie before.
Which one did you think it was? Did you think it was the one that wasn't Doug Bradley?
No, I just made up a movie in my head.
Good for you.
I made up a movie that will tie into my double feature a lot more, mm-hmm. where the whole movie is them inside of like a VR type game where the Cenobites have like infested the game and are doing wild shit. So big old hint on my double feature.
Can you guess it?
I mean, this was both really, really bad.
Yeah.
And never endingly entertaining and confusing.
Yeah. Like, let's not get
like,
it twisted.
It's juggling between
has both. Heavy both. The cover art alone does not totally sell to you what's going to happen here, right? Like, I mean, they have to put Pinhead on there, and they have to put binary code green digital like grid.
That's why
I thought
this movie was what it was.
And it's like,
but
it's
none of it, that's the thing is that that's a sweet idea, you know, like totally sweet idea. Basically Brain Scan meets Hellraiser. And that's what I was expecting. And they talk about it being like an MMORPG, you know, like they don't ever show it.
No.
But this
is such a bummer. They have like one homepage.
This is like a phone game, then I'd be more apt to believe it because real quick, the best thing that I found on the trivia about this is that there were 92 instances of product placement, and it was for just one single product, the Nokia 3210. That phone. 92.
It holds
instances.
The world record. The world record for the most product placements of a single product in any film.
I can't believe Nokia went full in.
They were just like, let's do this, baby.
I feel like they were like, we'll give you these phones and we'll pay for like craft services. That's like I don't think that it was much, but at the same time, this was filmed in 2002.
Yep, along with Debtor.
Yeah, which it was filmed back to back, which is so funny to me. The thing about it is that in 2002, I'm pretty sure I had that same Nokia phone. You know, like, and it was never on. It was never on. I used it for emergencies. It's not like not until I got a flip phone like in 2003 or 2004 did I start actually using my phone for more than like, hey, I'm out of gas, AAA, come get me. But it's just so funny because this movie is so confusing because it was released in 2006. Is that correct?
2005.
Yeah.
You know, potato.
Three years is a long time for technology,
yes,
brother.
Yeah. And also, everybody looks like 2002. Like the very first thing when you see them all going to Jack. Jack was the dead kid, right?
Adam was the dead kid.
Adam. They're going to Adam's funeral because he kills himself from playing too much Hell World. I love that the blonde girl...
Chels.
Chels's hairdo.
Chels.
Why am I talking so much about the women's hair styles?
It's important. Like, no, it's important.
The fog, like, but it's like, very she's got those. Remember moment. Those little black rubber bands that girls would put in their hair? And that is straight 2002. It is the...
Blonde girl
dreads.
It's
so funny though. Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny because then it's like it they fast forward 5 years, right?
Two years.
Fuck, yeah,
it's 2 years
matter.
Later. Yep.
But yeah, so like they're only supposed to be 18 because they were 16 when he killed himself.
Yeah, like
I
maybe
it made more sense that they would be 21 going to this party.
Yeah, maybe who like knows, freshmen,
MMO
sophomores
world
in college.
Is crazy.
Yeah. Dude, well, they have this like Irish Taron Manning or British Taron
yeah.
Manning that's
yeah,
there too
yeah.
with the small buns,
the spikies,
yes,
dude, the prequel to the space buns that are so popular now.
Yes, yeah, well, yeah.
Everything this, new is old.
This movie also has what I would consider to be the true continuous theme of the Hellraiser sequels past part four, that
no
this was not
the
written to be a Hellraiser movie and then was just forced into being a Hellraiser movie. And like, yeah. It shows in every one of these fucking movies that you watch. Yeah. This one, it was like they took the script and they actually tried to reintegrate it. But the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, you could 1000% have just done this movie with
yeah.
no Hellraiser tie-in. And it would have hit all of the beats until maybe the last like 3 seconds of the movie. Like,
mm-hmm.
like
it would probably help. It would probably work out a lot better.
Well, that's because man, the best part about watching a Hellraiser movie, because I'll go on record of saying this. I said this earlier when they announced that there was going to be a lady Pinhead in the next Hellraiser movie. Like, I don't care that it's a woman. I'm just sick of fucking Pinhead. There's so many
yeah.
other interesting Cenobites. And that's
there's
like
so
the
many.
Best part about watching a Hellraiser movie is that you get to create new Cenobites. And man, such tame ass new Cenobites that we get in this movie.
But
where
not
it's just
even
like,
new Cenobites. We get Chatterer who doesn't chatter.
No. Well, I'm talking about like the people who die and get turned into Cenobites. We just get like Harry Cavill with like a weird fucked up eye.
Well, nobody gets turned into a Cenobite in
yeah.
this.
No.
Well,
yeah.
That's why this was my first watch and last. Although I did truly enjoy the aesthetic
yeah.
of this film, the acting is so atrocious. It's not even the storyline. The storyline's dumb, but I can live with that. The acting is so poor.
The worst.
This has to be because of the director, right? Because like some of these people we've seen act well in other things.
Well, Henry Cavill was 12 when he did this.
Well, did you recognize the actor who played Jake though? Their estranged friend.
No.
He walked into the room and I said, "That guy looks really familiar."
Yeah.
And I had to do some Googling. Do you know what his first movie role was, Scott?
Mm-mm.
He played Peter Wong in a little film called Get Over It, starring Cisco, Kirsten Dunst, and Shane West. He's the superstar musical performer that gets hurt during the show and forces Ben Foster to take his part.
The only thing I remember from that movie is Martin Short calling a vagina a front butt.
Yep.
I absolutely love teen flicks. We know that I love 90s and early 2000s teen flicks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a one and done for me. I don't think I've ever watched Get Over It twice.
I've watched Get Over It many a times, but I think because I am still fully convinced that Martin Short's character is based on my high school's drama club teacher. Like his fashion, his personality, like every aspect about him, like that's Kaz.
So are you saying that was when you were in high school and you did drama, it was Kaz plays?
Ah.
Oh, here's something I wrote down tying to your acting statement. Dimension Films, look, we'll remove the whole aspect that we know who was behind Dimension Films, right? But Dimension Films theatrically gave us some of the finest films of my childhood.
Yes.
Yeah. Dimension Films straight to video department, however, just unwatchable garbage 99% mm-hmm. of the time.
Like, God, they churned them out too, man. They churned
them
fuck out. I mean, look.
It's entertainment.
I this is maybe my fourth watch of Hellworld. Maybe my second or maybe my second or third in the past year, because it is a movie that I feel like I can put on with people over crack open a bag of Doritos, freshies.
Yeah, you definitely need some Doritos.
A little Mountain Dew Doritos. And it's just so fun. And it's like, I think that we, like, to me, it's like, this is a relatable time, too. Like, in some ways, you know, even though it's, like, totally far-fetched, and it's like, that's not what I was doing, or anybody I know was going to, like, this weird rave mansion, and, like, nobody was doing that. But, again, I've talked about this with with Stigmata. It's just, like, there's this aesthetic of, like, that's what being an adult is. That's, like, being, like, a cool kid is. It's, like, you get to go to parties, and, like, maybe you'll get head from a fucking masked, like, weirdo if you dial a 4-digit phone number.
Yeah. And just take, like, a casual phone call while it's happening.
And be a fucking head pusher, Henry.
He's having a full-blown casual conversation with
Sorry.
So let me write that. I have to jump to this. Every once in a while, I write down a quote. I write down a quote that doesn't happen in the movie, but I wish it happened in the movie. So there's this big reveal towards the end of the movie that they have not been at this party pretty much from the second they showed up to this party, right? Lance Hendrickson somehow... Let's try to think about this. Somehow has hacked into their favorite game, made sure that all of them get the exact same invite to a party that he needs them to get, just so he can bury them alive because he blames them for not stopping his son, who he didn't have a particularly great relationship with, from killing himself. And it's revealed that they've all been in a hypnotic state, and he's just been kind of tossing suggestions into their mind, but like
via Nokia's phone.
Yeah, because of those, it's like, oh, she was so afraid that she was going to slice her throat off that she scratched her throat out trying to like remove an apparatus that wasn't there. And like this guy
that was a straight Saw. This movie is Saw with Cenobites.
This movie is everything but Hellraiser, honestly. Because it ends with like a Friday or a Nightmare on Elm Street type ending for some reason.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It's fucking wacky. But he's going through all the different ways that these three friends have died, and it gets to Henry Cavill's character, and he says his explanation is he died of fright. But the way that Harry Cavill's acting, I wanted him to be like, "And Mike jerked himself to death." Because
he's like. Well, I was that would have been amazing. And so when they're showing the dead body, they pan down to his crotch, and I was waiting for there to be a wet spot because he like you know had a wet dream as he was about to get fucking killed in his psychosis.
I want to believe that was the original line, and even to mention films were like, "Yo, you got to bring in Lance to ADR a new line." That's ridiculous.
I forgot how long that explanation goes for. So
let me tell you something, Kyle, about this movie. This Wikipedia page, because I hopped onto the wiki description just to make sure I wasn't missing any beats. The wiki description has two paragraphs to set up the movie. It's like, Adam dies and his friends go to his funeral and they think it's because of this video game. And 2 years later, they win prizes to like go to this party hosted by the host, Lance Hendrickson. And then the very next paragraph is like, they've been in a hypnotic state. And it's like literally skips the whole hour. And then it's three paragraphs trying to explain the last 10 minutes of the movie.
You know what? Like they got it. They got it down to a science over there. All the contributors.
That's how inconsequential everything that happens in the middle of this movie is. Is that like you could just pass it by? Yeah. And I read that plot synopsis, and I'm like, yeah, that's the movie. The film.
That's right. Cavill's death inspired my beer choice, which was Irregular Heartbeat. And
I love it.
Visually, it feels like the party too, dude.
Yeah, because like, if this movie is another very blue movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the ironic part is that if they really wanted to make it feel right, they would have done a green gel instead. Like
you
Matrix.
Would fucking think. Yeah. You would think. But we go down into that basement that they were used to eat human flesh in. Like this mansion has everything. This mansion has fucking everything.
I am offended still to this day by some of the depictions of like nerdy gamers, and I'm not even a gamer, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like the depiction of horror fans, it's the depiction of gamers where it's like, hey, because you play this horror game, you're gonna be really into the fact that this statue's made of human flesh and that we have like jarred yes. up baby fetuses. Like,
wait,
I'd be like, get me the
me
fuck
that's not...
out of here.
You're saying Scott's not cool.
Are you trying to tell me that my interests are not laser focused like that?
That's what I mean. It's like, it's so insulting sometimes.
When they go into like, that Hellraiser museum and they're just touching everything.
Yeah, they're like,
and
oh, like, I can't wait to touch it all.
And like, no, dude, get the fuck out of there. Not even in like a horror, like, don't go in there. Like, be a person. Be it like a functional person who's not weird and touching everything in this person's house. Please don't.
And that's before they're like hypnotized.
Yes.
Like, that's the worst. Because there's so many questions.
We
get to the last like 10 minutes of this movie, and like my notes like quadruple because I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? That fucking roundhouse kick. Like,
yes, yes. Like,
Chels. A single moment in this movie has there been anything that has implied that she has any ability to perform any type of karate.
Even to fight back. She's been scared the whole goddamn
time.
She
just roundhouse kicks Lance Hendrickson down a fucking, not even a flight of stairs, over a railing to the floor.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, admittedly, it's like, oh, she's like hypnotized.
No, that's not a good explanation.
No, but, like, no, because there's no, like, she doesn't have any like abilities when she is hypnotized. Everybody would have an ability, right? Like,
yeah. It should be
like,
the Dream Warriors.
She's not even
she should be fucking Dream Warriors. That'd
and she's not even the gamer. Like, she stopped playing the game when Adam died, and all these other people are gamers, and they can't even manage to figure out how to like alter their like dream state, and Chell should be the first to die.
Well,
like, Chell should be...
The other thing that blows my mind in the ending of this movie is there is a tone shift that is so fucking wild, where it's like Chelsea gets dug up by the cops and like, you've been here for days, if not for Ghost Adam calling us, which like, don't even get me started on that bullshit, but if not for this ghost calling our phones and pinging your location, we would have never found you.
He didn't even die in that house.
No.
What's his ghost
doing?
That's
what I was about to say. Like, why is there all that explanation, or not explanation, but like that expositional so much slow-mo of him like digging up something in the basement?
I don't know what any of this movie's about, but she's watching all of her friends get dug up, and she's just like, oh my god, and it's just like the saddest music playing as she's watching. I'd hate to say it, but like, people she didn't even seem to like very much.
No, she hated all of them.
She didn't want to go.
Get dug up. She's crying. She's just the saddest music. And then they bring up Jake, a guy that she hasn't given a shit about for about 2.5 years. And the music immediately turns to this swell of victory. And she's just like, Jake. And it's like, there has been no romantic anything implied between these two characters whatsoever.
None.
And then they're driving off together into the sunset. It is fucking bonkers.
With like, the greatest song of fucking all time, which I forgot to write down like the chorus to, which I'm really upset about. But I remember the last time we watched it with Carly and my friend Jeanette, we watched it and Carly clocked the artist, which is just Boss House, which I assume is like a, you know, not a public domain, but like one of those like Jingle Punks like thing that you can just like search, you know. But I was such an asshole, and I wasn't quite paying attention to her. So she said Boss House, and I thought she just mispronounced Bauhaus. So I was just like, I was like, Bauhaus? And she's like, no, you fucking asshole. Boss House. Like, I'm not misreading the thing. And it didn't even sound like Bauhaus. It sounded like a fucking, like, because the whole soundtrack prior to this sounds like Chevelle and nu metal and like industrial like rave, right? Like rock rave. But then this last song sounds like a late 80s like anthem, like we fucking like we won, like we beat them off. Look who's standing tall. It sounds like a denim jeans commercial. Like, it sounds like a fucking Levi's commercial.
This movie also bounces from like, because this movie's kind of fucking tame, especially by Hellraiser standards. Like, you think about the first two Hellraiser movies.
This has the most nudity in it, though, doesn't it?
It does have the most nudity.
Yeah.
but it's like, you think of like those first, that first Hellraiser movie, even when I was like really into horror, that box art was so gory that it kind of scared me away for a while. Yeah. And then you've got this like incredible claymation, like 3-minute sequence of a corpse literally reassembling itself in an attic. Like it's unbelievable. This movie, we get what is actually a pretty decent decapitation in the middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else happens off screen.
But Cenobites aren't slashers.
Right. Well, that, trust me, we're getting into that too. We get a decent decapitation. The rest is all like off screen. Like it's just someone screaming and like blood splatter on a face. And mm-hmm. then secondly, we get some of the shittiest CGI I've ever seen. Where Lance Hendrickson's half of his body, it's almost like an homage to Alien, just laying on the ground with his guts. The CGI guts just staying so perfectly still and flat inside of his body.
I don't think that you're giving that as much credit as you should, because it looks like it looks super real compared to the fake lament configuration that Jake gets his thumb pricked through.
Oh.
Because they couldn't even, when they have the nails go through his thumb, the nails still have the green from like the green screen around the edges.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. And they even went back and showed it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, we paid a little bit for this. We have to show it twice, even though this is what we have. It's really bad. I so liked the meta angle that they really forcefully fit into this movie, as we've talked about. Like, they had to take a script and just fit Pinhead in there. I like the idea, like the meta setup of it, and it just does not pay off in the ways that I wanted. It pays off in many other ways. It's very fun. All the one-liners are out of this fucking world. Like, there are so many. My favorite
is not just the words, it's also the delivery.
It's the delivery of them too. Absolutely correct. Like when they show up to this mansion and he goes, a little something out of the Norman Bates School of Design. And it's like, that's not even...
How did these people even get hired?
How did any of it happen? I want to make a movie, period. And something like this gets made at like, at all? I mean, I got, it's 2002.
Well, you just have to go down on Henry Cavill.
My other favorite line is when the Henry Cavill's new lady friend comes back around after she gives him the blowjob, and he goes, come on, stud, or she goes, come on, stud, it's your turn to go down, and he gives this disgusted face. I'm like, oh no, like that does not look
it's
good.
It's 2002. I mean, guys weren't really,
I guess nobody's eating anybody out apparently. Or it's so disgusting, it's so taboo and disgusting.
Hey, there was a really cool TikTok that I saw about the Kivin method, K-I-V-I-N, which is it's a special way to give special kisses.
Ooh. Special kisses
in a very special place.
I like that. There we go, we'll call it special kisses.
That is a much better way of describing it.
So
it is a terrible term.
It sounds like cannibalism. Because
I'm not removing anything. Yeah. All right,
no.
Like, and if you are removing something, that's probably a discussion for a doctor.
We need to talk.
All right,
So we need
to talk
about Kivin.
Hi friends, the world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Hey, Kyle! You got any double features you want to match up with?
This? I do. And actually, Scott had alluded to it earlier. I would like to watch Brain Scan. I think that it's not the same vibe per se, but I like the video game aspect. You're going a decade earlier into the 90s, it feels very 90s as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're both just fun movies. That's my pick.
Same vein, like, I mean, I hinted at it, but I wrote down Stay Alive. Like, I think, as much as Stay Alive
Why
is a
bad
movie.
Why would you torture yourself?
I hate Stay Alive. I admittedly hate Stay Alive. But I think you take the framework of Stay Alive and mix that with the Hellraiser franchise, where it's like, you play this game and you can unlock the box and bring the Cenobites.
That makes more sense.
That makes so much more sense than this weird fucking mind game of a vengeful dad. Like, it doesn't make any sense otherwise. That's my double feature. Scott?
I have two. One is the real one, and the other one is if I was trying to really dig into a bad night. I would definitely need some Doritos. I would go with House on Haunted Hill 99 because I need any excuse to watch that movie.
Yes.
And I feel like if you took the Cenobites out of Hellraiser Hellworld, that basement is the basement from House on Haunted Hill 99. Also, Chelsea in this movie is wearing the exact same outfit that Ali Larder wears in House on Haunted Hill.
Dude, yes.
She's basically just Kmart Ali Larder, which is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that came to mind, which, I mean, this would be a slog if you did Hellraiser Hellworld and then Arcade.
Oof. Yeah. Seth Green's in it, I think.
Yeah, that's the only good thing about that movie. That movie is basically like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Foot Clan hangout meets RoboCop 2 or 3 when he goes on that rampage through the arcade.
All right. Well, Kyle, what have you watched, read, listened to?
I haven't done a lot this week. We were finishing I finished everything. All the short that I was working on, The Woodsman, is done, and it's been submitted to the first festivals, and I'm really, really excited about that. So admittedly, I haven't done much of anything except that. But at night, when we only have maybe a half hour or so before we really have to start thinking about going to bed, we don't want to start a show or a movie or anything. I really hate starting movies and stopping them partway through. I have this thing where I want to just watch the whole thing. So oftentimes we don't get around to that. And if we're watching a show, a lot of them are hour episodes or whatever. So what we'll do is we'll just throw on a trailer compilation. And we've been just really deep into this one 90s movie trailer compilation that has a great mix of Academy Award fodder and really also bad straight to video shit that I didn't know existed. And there was this one. There's one called Yuli's Gold, which just looked like it has Peter Fonda in it, and it just looks like this amazing Academy Award fodder. But then there's this one, and hopefully one of you guys can remember the name because I'm trying to look it up frantically right now as I do it. It's with Corey Feldman from the 90s, where he is the gang leader of a karate gang in a high school. This isn't Three Ninjas 90s. Karate. This is class of 1984 with martial arts. In the trailer, there's somebody hanging from the basketball hoop in the school gym. I just want to talk about it at some point. I have not watched it, but the trailer for it is incredible. It might have been A Dangerous Place.
Doesn't even have a wiki.
Man, that
link.
Is the most boring ass name for a movie.
Dude, actually, that's not it. No, because he looks like a good guy there. No, dude. Oh, man. Anyway, somebody else talk. it might have been Edge of Honor. No. What the fuck?
No,
he was in a lot of these
place.
Things.
A teenage martial artist is thrown into a world of theft and risky behavior while investigating the death of his older brother.
Yes, 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 yes. But the front cover plays Corey Feldman's. Did I say Corey Feldman or Corey Haim?
Yeah, Corey Feldman.
Okay,
yeah.
You said Corey Feldman. Okay, good. Corey Feldman's the good guy. He is not the good guy in this at all. And it is. It looks like very Class of 1984 meets martial arts. And it just looked... I just couldn't believe... I forget that sometimes movies like that existed. You know what I mean? We watch a lot of shit. But we watch a lot of horror-adjacent shit. And some of those action movies that came from that period, I'm like, oh my God. They made choices. Highly recommend just throwing on a compilation in the background, man. There's a 30 minute one. That one's from a 30 minute action VHS one, all from the same distribution company too.
So they're all
thematically interesting.
Start following that shit.
Yeah, and I wrote down a couple for potential horror movie night picks. So,
all right. So, nice. I watched something that I think both of you would like for various reasons. But I actually watched it for Christmas 365. Had no clue that this movie took place at Christmas until Dylan told me to watch it. The Green Knight.
It's on my list.
The fantasy film from A24. It's
good.
It's really fucking good.
It's really good. Carly and I saw it in theaters. It was right before Hunter, or right after Hunter was born. It was like one of our first like movies to go back to the theaters to see. It was great.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've been waiting to watch that one with Megan.
Yeah, it's like a nice slow burn. It's just a good fucking fantasy film with cool fucking fantasy elements. Like, I don't know what else to say about it. Yeah. Go see it. It's good. Oh, also The Woodsman. I saw this short called The Woodsman. It was very good.
Yeah, it was delightful. You know, our boy Kyle, growing up
fast.
By the time this comes out, it'll be maybe a month since it came out. But Horrors 5, my horror theme cover EP series, the fifth installment came out finally. Finally got it done early April, and I'm super happy with it. I've been bumping it, been playing it, playing along with it, and
it's so fucking good.
Thank you so much. Yeah. The worst part about releasing one of those is now I need a new project, but I was having some trouble sleeping. While I mentioned Megan has been out of town a bit for work trips, and couldn't sleep one night, and so I was going through my Shudder watch list, and nothing really sounded good, and so I just put on Shudder TV, and fell asleep to Triangle, which I still don't love, but I guess I have more respect for it now. It's a good movie, but I also don't really love the recursive nature of it. I think the concept of it has been done better in other movies.
All right, let's dive into a quick email, and also just a quick reminder, because it's summertime now, or it's about to be. I mean, the gates are now open for listener submitted month for September. Start sending in your suggestions, hmnpodcast@gmail.com. But if you don't have a suggestion and just want to email us, you can, like Bert did in September of 2020, when he said, "Hey guys, I just wanted to say thanks for an amazing podcast. I'm not currently caught up, but I have been listening my way to and from work solely to you magnificent bastards. My brothers and I used to regularly have a cheesy movie night and discuss them after. This was before us moving to separate cities and following our own paths. Your commentaries, jokes, and appreciation are very similar to the taste of ours, and on top of the films themselves, it brings back the sense of family nostalgia as well. I also really dig all the references that you guys make. You've turned me on to a ton of movies that I had overlooked and music that I would have never given a chance to. That being said, I wanted to throw a movie into your suggestion pick. I know y'all, yes, I'm from Texas and it's as bad as Katie describes it, enjoy picking movies and are that are appropriately themed around events and holidays. So my recommendation for a Valentine's Day episode is My Demon Lover with Scott Valentine as the lead. It's not technically a horror movie by most standards. This shit is just all over the place, from thriller to horror to a whodunit to a romantic comedy. The practical effects go from shady to pretty fucking spectacular. There's more absurd plot holes and WTF moments than you can shake a stick at. Why does a real demon need a fake demon hand? I don't know. I don't want to spoil any of it for you if you haven't seen it, but for Valentine's Day, a movie called My Demon Lover starring a man named Scott Valentine, like, how can you go wrong? It's worth a watch either way. Keep up your amazing show. I truly appreciate what you guys do for all the laughs. Bert from Texas, who still listens to hip hop. Please don't judge me, Scott. I just wanted to throw this other thing in there because I responded to him and he wrote back to me and he just said, growing up in the middle of nowhere, Texas, my single mom used to use all the resources she had. This included a coworker's dad who owned a local video store. This video store catered exclusively to Spanish speakers, which I was not. They did have maybe 10 VHS titles in English, though. I probably had prime real estate of those tapes, which is why I cut my teeth on the likes of Chud, Return of the Living Dead, The Toxic Avenger, and Labyrinth, along with My Demon Lover. So thank you, Bert. Sorry it took us almost 2 years to respond to your email. We're trying to get better at this. That was Hellraiser Hellworld from 2005, as picked by Kyle. We will be back with more Horror Movie Night next week. Stay tuned, and please get those emails and listener submissions in at hmnpodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.